This morning, I'm doing the second part of The Secret of Prosperous Living. I did the first part last week. But today is really going to be about giving, about receiving, about circulating, about serving, and probably much, much more than that. It has been said that the greatest good that you can actually do for another is not just share your riches or your richness, but to reveal to them their own richness and their own rich consciousness. Now, we have a couple of options here. We can choose to share our wealth in ideas with others, and we can also choose to share poverty in the ideas of lack and limitation with others as well. We learn through this teaching that wealth is an attitude, and this is the attitude that believes there is always enough, always enough. Let's say that together. There is always enough. One more time. There is always enough. One more time. Is there always enough?
Yes.
Now, here's the other great thing, is that you can actually be generous without it costing you a penny. Now, a whole person is one who gives fully or wholly of themselves in all ways, because there's always more to give. We could give and give and give, but we always have more to give. You can circulate richness of life everywhere you go. When the law of circulation is retarded and we stop doing that, then what happens is stagnation begins to occur. So spiritual giving, we want to be sure that we're not using it as some bargaining tool. I'll give something because I expect to get something in return. By allowing this divine current, more or less, to flow through us and then on out from us, we're really expressing life. And what is life but a giving thing? Life is really a giving thing. When we begin to think and we begin to realize more wealth in all forms, then what happens is that we start to receive all wealth in all forms. We can't attract any more than our mind is able to receive. We just can't attract more than what our mind is willing to receive. And this is why we talk about the importance of imagining it, the importance of feeling it, the importance of embodying it, and the importance of knowing that it already is so. So the law of giving and receiving is definite. Seeing life as one of service sort of puts a whole new perspective on one's purpose. How many of you are searching for a purpose, or you had a purpose, you want to trade it in for a new purpose, or you're looking for a purpose, or you found your purpose recently? Anybody? Okay. So I'm pretty much talking to everybody then. So if we look at life as one of service, what happens is it changes our perspective, because it broadens and expands the purpose of what we're doing. Now, Jesus said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. I know this is pretty rotten news for some people because they enjoy being served, but that's really not why we're here. We are really here to serve. And service is the greatest act of reverence, and it's certainly a part of our spiritual practice. Jesus seemed to humble himself through this obedience of serving. Never was too much, always willing to serve. I love one of the statements that Dr. Martin Luther King made about serving. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love in order to serve. I think we all would agree we don't need any special gift other than an awareness of what our purpose is, to pick up a dirty plate or a cup and throw it away, or if we see something on the ground to pick it up off the ground and throw it away, or if we see something outside to pick it up and throw it away. It takes no special gift to do that. We're here to discover and to find the gifts that we do have that work in life. We're also here to earn and learn a profitable return from what we do. But no matter how many bags of gold we have, or how many bags of gold we have collected, we're expected to share. We're expected to circulate, to invest what we have in spiritual giving. I believe that every moment is an opportunity to choose whom we shall serve. We always have two choices. We're going to either serve God, or we're going to serve the human ego. And the human ego is edging God out. So we're either serving God. When we serve other people, we are really serving the godliness in that individual. Gandhi said the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. When we get too self-focused, which is very easy to do, and we begin taking things personally in life, we get sad and blue and moody, what happens is that energy leaks all over everybody that you come into contact with. And it's a grungy kind of energy. It vibrates very low, and it really doesn't expand anybody. It doesn't cause anything to be enriched or enhanced. Sometimes, instead of sharing your richness, which of course serves everyone and then increases yours, you're sharing your poverty, your lacks and limitation, which doesn't serve anyone and actually increases yours. That's when we tell our woe is me story. That's when we get too involved in what isn't as opposed to what is. That's when we forget about being grateful and sharing our gratitude about things, but instead we're sharing, as I said, the lack, the limitation, the restriction, and sometimes the negative things about life, which increases it, certainly in your own consciousness. I would say that we want to pull in and give out a positive, affirmative, and constructive energy, particularly in this particular time in life. We need good, sound minds. We need spirits of love and spirits of faith and power, not of fear, not of the opposition. When we pull in and give out that positive and constructive, affirmative energy, it certainly makes the world a better place. It certainly allows us to see our spiritual gifts, and it allows other people to see their spiritual gifts. You're really simply asked to put your wholeness into circulation. We are asked all the time to put all of who we are into circulation so that it doesn't stagnate. We're asked to do what it says in Corinthians. And now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstanding about them. So there are different kind of spiritual gifts, but it is still the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all, and all lead to service for the good of all, not just certain ones, but for the good of all people. This is where we become less personalized about things and become much more generalized in looking at all people. There are certainly different ways that God works in our lives, but it's still the same God who does the work through us. Whether it is that we preach a sermon or teach a lesson, we sing or play music, whether we welcome people at the door or we empty a garbage can. All the beloved people in this center who offer their services are indispensable to this center and are deeply, deeply loved and appreciated for what it is they do, just for the joy and the love in their heart, for nothing in return. But what it always does It allows you to look much deeper at what your purpose is. And when we find ourselves searching for a purpose, we can always remember the first purpose is to be the best individualized and unique expression of spirit that you can. To do the best that you possibly can in sharing all the qualities that you are. We're told over and over again, we're here to serve one master. That master, which was a surprise to me at the beginning, when I learned that this was actually a loving God. I was raised with a different kind of God. That was a punishing God, a rewarding God. If you were good, you were rewarded. If you were bad, you were punished. And then I came into this teaching and found out this is a loving, joy-filled God. This is a forgiving God that we talk about. This is a God that we actually find within ourselves, in our own consciousness, of which we are expressing. Everything that is tangible is temporary and just on loan. Our positions in life are somewhat like seasons. They're forever changing. Our positions in life are forever changing, no matter what they might be. We accept our good, we use our good, and then we let it go. We release it. In scriptures it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Dr. Holmes, in the Science of Mind textbook, in case you do have it on page 440, under the law of circulation, said, when a man or woman's thought rests entirely upon himself or herself, he or she becomes abnormal and unhappy. But when he or she gives himself or herself with enthusiasm to any legitimate purpose, losing himself or herself in the thing which he or she is doing, he or she becomes normal and becomes happy. Only as much life enters into us as we can conceive. And we can conceive of life in the larger sense only when there is complete abandonment to it. Let the one who is sad, who is depressed or unhappy, find some altruistic purpose into which he or she may pour his or her whole being. He, she will find a new inflow of life in which he or she has never, ever dreamed. I think this is one of the first things that I learned coming into this teaching. Though my life was a bit of a mess, I recognized that there was something much higher going on than my story, than my life, than the things which looked so large to me and were all about me. But there was something much larger taking place. And as I looked into the people's eyes who came to that particular church, I could see that everybody had pretty much the same eyes, that it appeared that everybody was going through something. How many of you here today are going through something? And if you're not going through something, then you wouldn't be here because you wouldn't be breathing. And because you're all breathing, you're going through something in life. I'm not labeling it. So as I began to see this sort of uniqueness in other people, it allowed me to get in touch with my own uniqueness, which I thought had taken a permanent vacation. Searching, searching, searching for a purpose, searching, searching for something to do. Believe me, I'd never thought it would be this. But stranger things have happened. One never actually knows what one's path is until you take a couple of steps. I would say it's no accident that each and every one of you walked in this room today. Perhaps there's something here that you needed to hear. Perhaps there is somebody here that you needed to meet. Perhaps there's just a feeling within yourself that you needed to touch in and to feel again or to recognize again. I have nothing lofty or new to share. It's more or less the same thing all the time that we talk about together. These are conversations that we have every Sunday, but they're always conversations about what's going on in our lives, things that we can relate to, and things that we have the ability, the capability, and certainly the power to shift and to transform. As we learn and grow into mature adults, and don't get too mature, by the way, we seem to realize that life is about what you give rather than what you get. This was a difficult lesson for me. I really did think that life was about getting. It was a rude awakening to have that understanding and that platform that no, in fact, life is simply about giving. Not necessarily does the law of reciprocity even this all out or balance it all out. Not necessarily where you particularly give do you get back. But the universe is huge and it does honor that law of reciprocity. It does give back to us. It may just be in a different place or from a different place than where we gave it. I think if we get too hung up on a bunch of possessions and we begin to guard them like we're actually going to be taking them to the morgue with us, will carry us away from our spirituality, and it really does edge God out. Spirit's light is a very, very pure energy. And you feel this energy all the time because what it fuels within you is intuition. And it also fuels or sometimes motivates your creativity. It has you go beyond perhaps where you've gone before. That's what I mean by creativity. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily an author or a writer or a singer, but that you are a creative being living in a creative universe. That means you've graduated from competitive living, that you're not comparing or competing with something or someone else. Not when you come into this teaching, because you remember over and over again, I'm a unique and individualized expression of this infinite intelligence and mind, that there is nobody else like you, that you are an original. I'd like to drive that point home, because that is one of the blessings of this teaching, to really recognize that there is nobody else like you. That's part of the good news and sometimes part of the bad news, because the good news now gives you a responsibility. For if there is no one like you who has your creative abilities and talents and skills and the way in which you express them, then that's your job. That then becomes your purpose that you pretty much need to own. When you begin to own your purpose, then the universe is very kind, very generous, and keeps bringing you more and more opportunities that are in alignment with that purpose. More opportunities to serve, more opportunities to give, and to, of course, give back. As you begin to project this light of spirit or just your own unique creativity, you're really sharing the wealth of spirit with other people. Whether that's openly or whether that's silently, it builds. And it builds within you and it builds within other people. And that's why people many times coming into this teaching begin to feel richer, begin to feel more wealthy, not just spiritually, but many times financially as well. Because we understand that this giving is really a full-time position, that it's not limited to a select few. This teaching is about demonstration, manifesting, producing results. We're about people demonstrating a better way of life and ultimately making the world a better place. That's what this teaching is about. If it isn't going to make something different, if it isn't going to allow you to go from where you were to a greater and bigger place in life, then it really isn't doing its job, because it's built on spiritual principles. It's built on the law of evolution, which is always growing us forward. That includes people from all walks of life. That includes people from everywhere, with nobody left out. That includes even perfect strangers that you may pass on the street. That includes perhaps people that you may not have even met yet, but you have heard about. It's very easy for us to project that energy, whether it's silently or energetically. And I would say that's an energy of peace, one of harmony, one certainly of love, and a general sense of well-being to others. We can see all people as expressions of God's wealth, both inside and out, whatever that degree of wealth is. We can also declare others as partners in establishing peace on earth. Isn't that the goal, really, that we all experience in this lifetime? Peace on earth? We know that thought is power, and we also know that thought knows no distance. So your thought counts. Your thought has a place in peace on earth. Never think that just because you're one individual person, that you're not doing something. You are doing something. You are contributing to this world of peace. That which we focus our attention on with feeling, we draw automatically into our experience. And then you draw all that good back to yourself. You're not putting yourself down. You're actually lifting others up. If we can't lift others up, what is the point? If we can't be here to do what we were supposed to do, Jesus said it, to give life and to give it abundantly, then part of what our work is to lift others up. I didn't say cripple them. I didn't say enable them. I didn't say not look at them as though they're whole, complete, and perfect, and just as able and capable as you are. That would be egotistical. But lifting someone up might just be offering a brighter side of life to look at, or perhaps, as we say in this teaching, a new way of thinking. We do control our thinking still. Probably the greatest wealth is a spirit of genuine friendship. That's probably as rich and as wealthy as we could ever be, is to feel genuine friendship from someone and to be giving genuine friendship to another. Not conditionally, not because they did anything right or wrong, but because that's just the right thing to do. A friendly spirit is like what each and every one of you have in this room. I always feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But I know that you go out and you share this with other people during the week in your own unique and individualized way. So I know that this word reaches far beyond this room. A friendly spirit is one that's encouraging, one that's kind, one that is considerate, understanding, perhaps tolerant beyond where we've known tolerance, one that is patient, and certainly one that is forgiving. And all of the many things that Corinthians says about love. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Do you really think others wanted to be treated with indifference? Do you really think other people want to be treated as less than you are? Sometimes we're not aware enough of how this energy comes across to other people. It's not what you say, It's what you're thinking. It's what you're feeling. And as I said earlier, it's the energy that you pull and give out. If we would become more aware of the importance of our consciousness when we enter a room or go anywhere, we would then begin to live a very purposeful life. We're looking for some lofty purpose, something that's so huge or so big. Well, I think making the world a better place is pretty large. I think seeing that peace on earth is a goal and experience for all is fairly lofty. But what is it that we don't feel that we're a part of that each and every moment of each and every day, wherever we go? Look, we all have stuff, but we don't need to carry it with us everywhere we go. It's perfectly all right. If I had a chair up here, I would demonstrate, but it's okay, I don't need one. You know, let's just say that this is my stuff. And everywhere I go, I just have to keep feeling that my stuff is with me. It shakes and it makes noise so that no matter where I go, I've got my story, I've got my stuff, I've got my issues that I'm taking with me. But all of that is clouding your richness, your wealth, your energy that you could give out to other people, which will come back to you 100-fold. One of the things that I was taught early in this teaching was to leave my case at home. If I wanted to volunteer on a Sunday, I was to leave what happened to me prior to that moment at home, and to come with a happy face, a consciousness that was open and receptive to serve and to lift others up, to get my bloated nothingness out of the way so that other people could see who they were and perhaps why they decided to drop in today. You know, I think that spirituality is a very, very personal and individual path. And sometimes people need to breathe. They need to allow what's going on in them to settle. It has to assimilate. It has to digest. And sometimes we have to recognize that it's this peace that we need, that it might even be silence that we need, and allow people to go through their journey the way in which they go through it. Doing unto others as we would have others do unto us. You see, I don't think it just means that. To me, that means going the extra mile. That means looking for ways and things that might be needed without being asked. But looking out and becoming aware and looking and seeing, what could I contribute? What could I do here without being asked to do something? You know, tithing is another way that we honor the law of circulation. We're not selling the idea of tithing as some way of achieving sustained financial wealth or support or as a way of getting things. That's all effect. We don't deal in effect, because effect doesn't last. We deal in cause. It's just another tool that we use to build our own consciousness. It's sort of that training discipline by which to work toward a greater awareness of this law of circulation, the importance of it, and how we're all using it, and to look and become aware of how exactly it is you're using it. God certainly doesn't need our money. We place our tithes wherever we have been spiritually nurtured. True wealth, true abundance, and true prosperity include all of those things. Peace of mind, they include your physical health as well as financial peace and plenty. Wealth means well-being and wholeness. That equals the total giving of ourselves far beyond our money. You can give time and service to our spiritual center, to other organizations and people or things that interest you. That's what we do each and every week. Most importantly, give time to yourself for your own spiritual growth. Give time to yourself for contemplation, for meditation. for reading, for your own prayer work, and give more of yourself to all of your relationships, not just your loving or one-on-one relationships that you have with a mate, but to all relationships. There's an interesting thing about vision. And here's what I've discovered, that a lack of vision actually limits our prosperity. If our vision is too small, or we don't necessarily have a vision, it actually limits our prosperity. Abundance is abundance is abundance. It doesn't matter whether it's health, whether it's wealth, whether it's your creative self-expression, whether it's your vision or your goals. You want to be sure that in your daily prayer work, in your treatment work, and in your meditation, whatever else you do, that you include visioning in that daily work. If God seeks expression through each and every one of you, then that's a huge vision. In the book, The Science of Being Great, which was also written by Wallace Wattles, he said the only service that you can render God is to give expression to what he's trying to give the world through you. The only service you can render God is to make the very most of yourself in order that God may live in you to the utmost of your possibilities. If we aren't giving as an act of love, then we really can't reap the full benefit of giving. We want to be sure that our giving is a form of a consistent spirit of love, that we are giving from a spirit of love, whatever it is we are giving, that it's genuine, that it's authentic. And finally, our last word this morning is that we all measure prosperity in a way that's unique to ourselves. The only thing I find is that the common denominator is always love. And that what love does is that it gives birth to generosity of the heart. And when you have generosity of the heart, then you truly have discovered the secret of prosperous living. I want to thank you all for being always to me very, very rich and bright blessings. And for that, I'm deeply grateful. Thank you. Okay, sit back. Take a couple of big, deep breaths. We're so grateful to be together in this moment. In this moment of time where things are moving fast through right action, perfect order, and divine balance. We welcome every church, every temple, every synagogue, all faiths, cultures, and all forms of worship. And we bless them for what they represent, for what they teach, for who they are. And we extend our heart and our hand in friendship, in unity, and in oneness, recognizing that we all have the same purpose, to remember who we are and whose we are, to reach deeply to our purpose and let that motivate us, lead us, reveal to us who we are, and then to appreciate living a life of purpose, to recognize God and the spirit of love in each and every person, to go beyond where we've gone before, in our trust, in our faith, and in our absolute knowing of the truth. To have no fear, but to know that we live in a creative universe and we live creatively through an infinite intelligence. And we live intelligently and we're guided always to the right thing at the right time, exactly in the right place. For as the rain cometh down from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so it is.